This is the Golf IQ podcast, a place for golf nerds to dive into the science and uncover the secrets to playing better golf. I'm the host, Luke Kerdeneen, and welcome. So Sam, me and you were stuck in the Northeast, just outside of New York City, and the weather's just starting to turn up here. And even though hopefully lots of our listeners are in sunny, warm climates, I feel like every golfer goes through the same kind of experience here, where they don't play quite as much golf in the winter months, and then they really start ramping up in the spring and then in the summer. So with us kind of making our way back to the course, we wanted to key in on something related to all this, which is how should you set early season goals for yourself? What's an unrealistic expectation and what's a kind of a good way to create some positive momentum for your game as you're landing back on the course?
Yeah, and it's applicable to me because today is Tuesday and I'm actually getting on a plane on Saturday to go to Florida. So I'm actually going to play like real golf in really warm weather this weekend, hopefully, if this injury heals. And I'm already thinking about like what my expectations are for that round. I've done a lot of work indoors and worked out. And I think the first thing that I need to be mindful of is that I shouldn't attach so many expectations to my first round of golf. Like, it's, you're starting out, you know, it's just like there's going to be some rust. There's going to be some things that are going to be great and instinctive and like you should celebrate, but also not get wrapped up in, you know, wanting to be perfect the first time out.
Yeah, that's probably step one in all this. Just accept that there's going to be rust. Accept that you're going to come back. Maybe you'll play great your first round back. Who knows? Because your expectations are so low. But let's just say your first month back is not going to mirror the success of your last month in season, right? There's just going to be some parts of your game that aren't quite as sharp as they were. And that's okay. And that's normal. And guess what? You accept it. It doesn't take that long to shake off that rust.
Yeah. Although I will say my experience with these kind of first rounds is it always does go better than I thought. And I think there's probably something you said there, but you don't have the recent muscle memory of like bad swings or bad habits, or I don't know. That was just, my recent experience. So there's a little bit of a push and pull there where it can be delightfully okay.
Yeah.
But even then, don't count on that. Just go with what you have, and that's going to always help.
One thing that I didn't do it this year, but for a few years, I got into a habit of playing Bethpage really early in the season, mostly just because it was really easy to sneak out there when it was slightly colder. But I also kind of came to enjoy it because I found, okay, I'm going to play a really hard golf course and I'm just going to treat this as like a fact-finding mission.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to kick all the tires of my game and see what's kind of working, what's in a good place and what needs a little more work. And I think that that same mindset can help early in the season when you just approach your own game as like, okay, what's still here and what's a little more rusty?
And what you're doing there is you're grading yourself on a curve, right? Because you're going and saying, okay, this is obviously the hardest golf course I'm going to play in, you know, the next month or so, probably all year. And so you already are saying, I don't have much to lose here. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to learn what I can and build off of that. And I feel like that's a good way to approach golf to start the year in general.
Yeah.
Just know that there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be more challenging than you expected it to be.
And yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing that I guess I don't treat all parts of my game, generally speaking, I don't treat all parts of my game equally on this. So me and you, we've been doing a ton of simulator time over this, just hitting balls. So I guess I do have slightly higher expectations for my six iron, my driver, because I've had enough full swings. But things like my chipping, my bunker play, short putts, I've drilled million putts indoors over the, like, I do have some expectations there, I'm kind of okay with that, I think, just to hit the ground running from that perspective. But things like my bunker play, my long putts, all of that, that's where I'm giving myself a little bit of slack because I just haven't hit as many of them.
This is definitely for me the most work I've done in the winter on my golf swing and hitting balls. And you're right, like, I should have slightly higher expectations as a result of it. However, I'm also determined as a early season goal to not like course correct based on something that I see like the first 2 weeks I'm playing golf, because I've worked on things. I know for a fact that they're important for me and they're what I want to do. And there's a very good chance for whatever reason, I'm not going to have the perfect results that I'm expecting And I don't want to suddenly like make a bunch of changes as a result of it.
Yeah.
Especially because like, look, hitting off a simulator versus turf, it's different. There's a lot of things like that. So it's like,
that's fair. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you have advice on that, but like, what are the things that you should pay attention to as things that you can adjust? And what are the things you need to chalk up to? It's early in the year. Stay the course. Don't worry about it.
I guess generally speaking, I can forgive myself some execution errors. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't hit that putt that, you know, I hit that putt too firm because I'm not used to the speed. I thinned that chip a little bit, or all that kind of stuff. Sure. You know, that's just an execution error. I can't really forgive myself certain course management mistakes. I've hit enough six irons in a simulator that I know how far my six iron should go or whatever.
Right.
If I'm pulling a six iron and it turns out to not be enough club and I make a stupid double bogey because of it, it's a user error, but that's more like a planning mistake than an execution mistake,
sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
So I try to, that's the kind of stuff I won't give myself as much slack on.
For sure.
Just that my approach almost.
I am interested to see, I make fun of your putting, but I know you've worked hard on your putting this year and you do expect it to be better this year. I did a fair amount of putting work last year and then I realized, okay, I worked on my stroke and like, you know, straight back and straight through. But so much of putting is speed control, reading a green, all these things that like you can't at all practice, you know, on a mat in your house. And like, I'm just curious what that process will be like for you, adapting that to.
So as my putting is such a pain point for me last year. And as I often do, whenever I am angsty about parts of my own game, I just try to go glean, mooch a bunch of information from tour players and see like, what do they do. And what Justin Rose gave me some great advice about this. He's turned himself into a really good putter. Where he says, I try to divide it so I do the bulk of my putting technical work at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see it is that if I iron out the creases in my putting stroke at home, when I do get on the course, I can just only think about the more external stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Green reading, speed control, pressure putting, games, all these kind of things. And in some ways, they're kind of like a yin and yang, which is reinforced by that separation and how you actually practice that.
Sure.
So that's something that resonated me mostly because out of necessity, I don't have time to just sit on a practice putting green and drill technical work with my putter all day. But I can do 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day at home.
Sure.
And then once I get out on the course, now is my time to really focus on green reading. And in some ways, it helps me organize what I'm trying to focus on a little bit. So that's the approach I've been kind of taking.
Well, selfishly, the person that I want to listen to this episode the most is my son, Charlie, who you know really well, too, who is a college golfer. He's a freshman and has worked his tail off indoors all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to North Carolina for his spring trip with his team right now. And he's probably have delusions of grandeur about how well he's going to play. And to your point, like at some point, you can hit as many balls as you want in the simulator. You got to learn how to play on the golf course. That includes putting and chipping. And so like, I'm wondering what advice you would have for people who are, you know, going to be competing soon enough.
Yeah. It's so funny because there are certain things where, so Charlie can just hit good shot after good shot after good shot and wherever he is. But one thing that's funny is that while you may be practicing your swing in a simulator or on a driving range, let's say, you haven't practiced your alignment at all, because mm-hmm. how can you practice your alignment when you're hitting into a screen?
It's lined up for you.
It's lined up for you. It's so simple. So these are the kind of things where one of these subtle differences between simulator golf and sort of on course golf, that's where your rust pops up in weird ways, I guess I would say, right? So your swing itself may not be particularly rusty, but you may pump a drive into the right rough because you were aiming over there.
Sure.
And these are the kind of like little wrinkles that you need to really try to have rabbit ears for in your own game.
But in his case and in mine and in yours, it's like just because you're seeing imperfection in all these areas that you worked really hard on does not mean that that work didn't pay off.
Oh,
it just
yeah.
means that like you need to recognize that there's some new data points to factor in as well.
Yeah, you're like bedding in a change in some ways.
Right.
You know, it's... you can assemble all the ingredients in your game and now you have to throw it in the oven and wait a little bit. That's kind of the mentality. I definitely would encourage everyone out there to just give themselves a little bit of slack. And then in some ways try to use this as an opportunity to groove those softer skills like course management. You may come back with a bit of rust, but this is your opportunity to try to think your way around a little more and plan your way around and learn how to just kind of get the ball in play.
Right. Last question for you, which is you've done all this work. You're going to go play. By one measure, you're saying be patient. You know, you have to learn certain things. So don't worry about competing right away. By another measure, you'd say the best way to factor in all these things you need to learn is, you know, play something for a few bucks, like compete right away. So you're testing all those things early. Which one, which side do you fall on?
So I guess which side do I fall on ultimately is giving yourself a buffer. If you do go out and play a bit of a money game or whatever, it can be useful for gleaning information. But again, I think about that like a fact-finding mission. So all of this is a means to an end. Early season, my goal, try to shake off a bit of rust and try to find where the rust is. Those are my two goals. If a money game on a tough course helps me do that, that's kind of my mindset. Now, if I'm playing a money game in June, suddenly I'm not thinking, oh, where are the rusty areas of my game? So that's kind of how, in some ways, spend about a month just fact-finding about your own game and really use that as an opportunity to gear up. Hello, I'm Luke Curtinine, the host of the Golf IQ podcast, and we've got some very exciting news here in Golf Digest land. It's a new newsletter available exclusively to Golf Digest Plus members, and it'll land in your inbox once a week. It's the greatest newsletter in all the land here at Golf Digest, but I admit there is an upstart rival in the ranks, and it goes by the name of the Low Net newsletter with Sam Wyman, who's here right now. Sam, what's the lowdown on your newsletter?
Well, my newsletter, Luke, is the reason that you are competing for second place at best. My newsletter, as you said, is called Low Net. It's geared towards golfers like myself who are very much in the middle of the pack at your course or your club. It's a game I live and breathe, and I'm obsessed with getting better.
No, in all seriousness, it's a great read. It's full of not just really interesting and helpful stuff, but really relatable stuff from the man who probably loves golf the most of anybody here at Golf Digest. So head over to golfdigest.com/plus. Sign up and start enjoying both of these awesome newsletters each and every week.